Translation, Pali Maharaj said, persons like us, who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the Supreme Path of Prahlada Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord. Prabhupada said that for spiritual realization, one must follow great personalities like Lord Brahma, Devarshi Narada, Lord Shiva, and Prahlada Maharaj. The path of bhakti is not at all difficult if we follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and authorities. But those who are too materially contaminated by the modes of material nature cannot follow them. Although Bali Maharaj was actually following the path of his grandfather, because of his great humility, he thought that he was not. Yet his characteristic of advanced Vaishnavas following the principles of bhakti that they think themselves ordinary human beings. This is not an artificial exhibition of humility. A Vaishnava sincerely thinks this way, therefore never admits his exalted position. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, how shall I glorify the character of Bali Maharaj? The Supreme Personality of God is the master of the three worlds, who is the most compassionate to his own devotees, stands with club in hand at Bali Maharaj's door. When Ravana, the powerful demon, came to gain victory over Bali Maharaj Vamana, they kicked him a distance of 80,000 miles with his big toe. I shall explain the character and activities of Bali Maharaj later in 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Beneath the planet, known as Sutala is another planet called Talatala, which is ruled by the Dhan of a demon named Maya. Maya is known as the Acharya of the Mayavis, who can invoke the power of sorcery. For the benefit of the three worlds, Lord Shiva, who is known as Tripurari, once set fire to the three kingdoms of Maya, but later, being pleased with him, he returned his kingdom. Since that time, Maya Ganala has been protected by Lord Shiva, and therefore he falsely thinks he need not fear the Sudarshan Chakra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The planetary system below Talatala is known as Mahatala. It is the abode of many hooded snakes, descendants of Kadru, who was always very angry. The great snakes who are prominent are Kuhaka, Takshaka, Kaliya, and Sushena. The snakes in Mahatala are always disturbed by fear of Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. But although they are full of anxiety, some of them, nevertheless, sport with their wives, children, friends, and relatives. Purport is stated here that the snakes who live in the planetary systems of Mahatala are very powerful and have many hoods. They live with their wives and children and consider themselves very happy, although they are always full of anxiety because of Garuda who comes to destroy them. This is the way of material life. Even if one lives in the most abominable condition, but still, he still thinks himself happy with his wife, children, friends, and relatives. Beneath Mahatala is the planetary system of Rasatala, which is the abode of the demoniac sons of Diti and Dhanu. They are called Panis and Nivataka, which are Kales and Hiranya Puravasis, those living in Hiranyapura. They are all enemies of the demigods, and they reside in holes like snakes. From birth, they are extremely powerful, cruel, although they are proud of their strength. They are always defeated by the Sudarshan Chakra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules all the planetary systems. When a female messenger like Indra, from Indra named Sarama, chants a particular curse, the serpentine demons of Mahatala become very afraid of Indra. It is said there was a great fight between the serpentine demons and Indra, the king of heaven. When the defeated demons met the female messenger Sarama, who was chanting a mantra, they became afraid, and therefore they are living in the planet called Rasatala. Beneath Rasatala is another planetary system known as Patala or Nagaloka, where there are many demoniac serpents, the masters of Nagaloka, such as Shankha, Kulika, Mahashankha, Sveta, Dhananjaya, Dhritarashtra, Shankarachuda, Kambala, Aswatara, and Devadatta. The chief among them is Vasuki. They're all extremely angry, and they have many, many hoods. Some snakes have 5 hoods, some 7, some 10, others 100, others 1,000. These hoods are protected with valuable gems, and the light emanating from the gems illuminates the entire planetary system known as Gulaswari. Thus, in the Bhagavad Gita, there was the 5th canto, 24th chapter, from the Bhagavad Gita, Subterranean Heavenly Planets. So, this verse continues with the description of Sutala, and then below that we have these other planetary systems, the lower planetary systems, and as described here, they all have demons in them. And at the bottom we have snakes. At the bottom we in Patala Loka we have the Nagas with the jewels on their head, and this somehow illuminates all of the other systems. So these systems geographically are situated, you could say, vertically below the Bhumandala. And each is given a realm of 10,000 yojanas, which means about 90,000 miles, I guess, 90,000 miles each. Little compartments down below, 90,000 this way, 90,000 vertical. So they each have their loka situated down there, and then that ends the Bhumandala bottom part, and then below that space with Ananda holding up, and then the covered up ocean underneath. And meanwhile, we have this other place called Pitraloka, where Yamaraj sits and punishes all the sinful people. That's below, just above the water of the Gavardhan Ocean. So that's not included in this description. So we got down to Patala, and there we have the Nagas living. So in this way, we see that the subterranean planets are places of enjoyment, but it occupied generally by demons. Now we have exceptions in the form of Prahlad here, and Vamana and Bali, on Sukala, and we had Shiva above that, etc. But generally, the demons are the heads, and demons are the population of the planets below it. And as said previously, the light is only above Bhumandala, not below Bhumandala. And therefore, they are lit from the jewels on the heads of the serpents of the Pakalaloka. So somehow the rays of that goes upwards to the upper seven lokas. So this is the description of the lower planetary systems. And of course then that is balanced by the higher planetary systems. So we got Bhumandala with Bhudevi, then we have above that we have the sphere called Bhuvarloka with the Gandharvas and the Charanas and the Siddhas in it, directly above 900 miles above the earth, I guess. Okay? And then above that we have the sun and Rahu, and above that the moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, and Jupiter, and Saturn, all going around, all in Svargasphere. And above that we have Dhruvaloka in the middle. Other ones are all not in the middle, they're on the side, but above the center of the universe. So they're all revolving around this Dhruva. And then above that, then we have these higher planetary systems, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and at the top we have Brahmaloka. And then we have the edge. So we have a vertical dimension to the universe, from Garbhadaka Ocean, Anantashesha, Pitraloka, and then Patala, all the way up to these other lokas like Tala, Tala, Sutala, etc. Bhumandala, Mount Meru on it, then the sun, then you have other planets, Svargaloka, then all these higher planetary systems. That's the vertical dimension. So it goes from tamasic to very sattvic. So at the bottom we have the most tamasic, and at the top, Brahmaloka, we have the most sattvic. And in the middle we have us, which is rajasic. And Bhumandala in the rajasic area. So we have the gunas represented in this gradation of 14 planetary systems. Then we have the horizontal dimensions, that only described in terms of Bhumandala, which is just below the center. The sun is right in the center. Off-center, of course, because it's going around Mount Meru, but it's vertically in the center. And just below that, we have 100,000 yojanas, 900,000 miles. Below that, we have the Bhumandala surface. So we have Mount Meru in the middle, then we have Jambudvip with Varsha on it, then we have the saltwater ocean, then we have Lakshadweep, then we have another ocean, I think it's Liquor Ocean, then another island, then another ocean like that. We have the Dweep is spreading out. And then finally we get the one with Manasatara mountain range with the sun going around it. Then we have a freshwater ocean, then we have the outer limit, the outer island. Then we have the big wall that goes upwards until Dhruvaloka, so that the rays don't go outside that area. And that is huge, it's very wide, very wide. After that, then it still continues out further, twice as the same radius as up to the end of the Lokaloka mountain range, same as outside. So basically most of it is all that uninhabitable space with no light. And then the mountain range, which is huge and thick. Then we got the inner side, which is quite small actually compared to the whole thing. So actually up to the inhabited range of the universe horizontally is very small compared to the rest of it going out like this. Very, very small actually. And of course it doubles, the size is double of the islands as they go out along with the oceans. They keep doubling and doubling and doubling, so there are huge areas outside. So that's the horizontal description of the universe. So we do not see all of that. We don't see the vertical dimensions beyond Svargaloka, because we can see planets like Sun, Moon, Venus, etc. We see those things. We don't see beyond Dhruvaloka. Dhruvaloka, we see the full star. Above that, we don't see Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Sataloka. We don't see that at all. Invisible. And below, we can't see also. We don't see these lower planetary systems, at least with these eyes. So these are one reason, of course, is that our particular bodies are suitable for this, seeing this particular mandala, Dhruva mandala.
this particular area, and only Bharatvarsha of that. Whereas the others, even in Bharatvarsha, we can't even go to the other places in Bharatvarsha. So we're very, very limited. So, in other words, we have here a gradation of all the gunas for human-like species, from the demons all the way up to the topmost devas like Brahma. And we have the particular lokas in terms of gunas, mixture of gunas, all of it bottom to top. So that's one way of describing the variety of living entities in the material world according to their gunas. So that's the convenient way of describing the creation of the Lord and how he locates different people of different gunas and different lokas, 14 grades. Of which we can't see anything except our particular grade here on Bhumandala. Then we have, so we can't really explain that in terms of science at all, because we can't even see it. Then we have this other thing with the Mount Meru in the middle and the Jambudvip and this, which is somewhat to our experience to give Bharatvarsha, etc. At least Bharatvarsha is there. Other Varshas we cannot also see. And it's described as big high mountains around it. They're very high. And if we look at the circumference of the earth, or the diameter of the earth, which is, 12,000 miles? How much? No, it's not even that. Anyway, it's very small compared to one of these mountain ranges. What could speak of the yojanas? I think it's 84,000 yojanas high as Mount Meru. And we're a little speck down at the bottom, the diameter of the earth. So it's only a speck on Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha also is, I think, 900 yojanas long, something, or 9,000 yojanas long, or whatever, I don't know, like that. It's quite long, and the Earth, actually, as we know, is only very, very small, actually. The diameter of the whole Earth, one little spot down there. Huh? So, in one sense, this whole description doesn't really correspond to the Earth planet as we know it, in terms of dimensions, at least, that we've described there. So what does this whole thing mean, this whole Bhumandala? That's the whole question. So we can't see it, and it's huge, and it doesn't correspond to the earth at all, because it's so huge, and we're so small there. So therefore, it has to be something else, obviously. We cannot conceive of huge oceans of liquor and milk and ghee and stuff. How do they exist and who produced them and how do they get replenished? It's very difficult. So we have to take that more or less as some sort of symbolic meaning or whatever like that. It's not actually literally ghee or whatever like that. And the dimensions also don't correspond to Earth at all. So we cannot consider that the authors didn't know the size of the Earth, because obviously you can understand what Bharatvarsha is by walking across it. And even Lord Chaitanya went across it, and Madhvacharya went across it, he went up the Himalayas. They all know the size. They also know what you observe when you see different sections according to the sky. You can see where the pole star is down on the horizon when you go south, and it is up as you go up towards the Himalayas. Yeah? Until you get to the North Pole, it's right above your head. Okay? So, there's all sorts of obvious things that you can predict. And in fact, we find that Aryabhatta, I think in 200 AD or so, he said, yes, the earth is spherical. And he gave the dimensions of the earth even, precise, down to maybe a few miles difference. The diameter of the earth gave the circumference of the earth. So he actually calculated the spherical nature of the earth, etc. And we find even in Bhagavatam, it describes Bhuloka, Bhugola. Gola means a sphere. So it is described as a sphere also. So we got these contradictory descriptions here of the spherical earth, plus we got what looks like a flat earth. So we have to assume that this is not actually a flat earth it's describing. It's a flat something around it, but not a flat earth as such. So one explanation is that this is it's a combination of explanations of Bharatvarsha, of Earth, of solar system, and of, it's a galaxy and universe. It's all of them combined, overlayered one on the other so that they intermix and you can't figure out which one's which. So sometimes it's obvious that it's Varsha because you can see that some of the mountain ranges that go around there are similar to mountain ranges we know, which are around the Himalayas area, Himalaya and the mountain ranges there. So you can actually map out mountain ranges around that correspond to Mount Meru somewhere down there in Central Asia above the Himalayas, and then this area down here, and then above that on that side and on the other side like this. So you can actually map that up. So that's, let's say, a Varsha map. Okay. And then we have the oceans around it. Then we have another map of the world in which it is obvious that the Mount Meru stands for the North Pole, because we have the North Star directly above that and everything going around that. So therefore we have a description of Mount Meru in the middle and we have the Varsha. So we have three Varshas on the bottom. Then we have Mount Meru in the middle, and we have three Varshas on the other side. Then we have Varshas on this side. So in other words, we go up from the North Pole and we go on the other side, we have North America or something on the other side. So now there's a description of the world taken from the top, let's say. You look at the top of the world and spread the map out, and then you've got all the continents in the different directions like that spread out. So that's another description of Earth, so to speak. And in fact, I think in one of the Siddhantas, it describes there that the equator would be at the edge, I think Lakshadweep would be at the equator, and below that would be below the equator, the outer islands like that. So that's one description going up. So in other words, sort of taking the whole Earth and cutting it into pieces, spreading it up flat, and then you get things like that. So that's a description of the whole Earth. Then, of course, we have a description of the solar system. Because what do these dvipas and what do these islands mean? They're too huge to be anything to do with the Earth. The Earth is not even, it's a very little speck on Varsha compared to this whole area out here with the circles. So one obvious correlation is the solar system. Just as we have the sun in the center and we have the planets going around it, huge distances up like that. The ones in the middle are very close, and as they go up, they get further and further apart. So, taking not the sun as the center, because in this version, we have the sun also going around the Earth, from our point of view. If you put us in the center, more or less, with Mount Meru slightly off-centered, then you can also map all of the planets in relation to us and their movements, even the sun and everything else. But if they don't go in circles, because the Earth is moving, plus it's going like this, and it's going around the sun, so therefore you get very strange configurations in relation to the Earth of these things, like a spirograph, you know? This is how the planets will move in relation to the Earth. Because the Earth also moving like this, and it's also going like this, so therefore the planets in relation to that, if we map them, they go in very strange things that look like lotus patterns. So we get concentric lotuses, more or less, patterns going outwards. So these can correspond to the dvipas. And Sariputta has actually mapped out that the distances in Yojanas, convert them into miles, approximates the different bands of the islands, one after the other. That is, the Moon, the Sun, Mars, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn. The distances actually more or less correspond to the orbits of these planets in relation to the Earth. So that's one way. And they're all going more or less on a plane, so that's what the flat plane of the Mandala. In religious, we know the sun is there and all the planets going around. So it's like a plate, more or less, playing out with all the circles going around. So that's an explanation of the solar system up to Saturn. And the dimensions, more or less, correspond to that. So that's a solar system thing. And then, of course, we can take it further and say a galaxy. A galaxy is a whole system of solar systems in the Milky Way, which is a huge system with maybe a billion suns in it or whatever. So that system, of course, also is in the big circle, the flat circle, like a lotus, going on like that. And of course, if we take the whole universe of all the galaxies together, of course it's hypothetical, so no one can photograph it. They have a theory, and it also is a big round thing, it looks like a big donut almost. With a thing like this in the middle, it looks like Mount Meru. Is that like a torus or something? Like this in the middle, the hole, in the middle, it comes up like this. And it's a big, huge, round thing again. So that's speculative, of course. Maybe that's Mount Meru and one stuff, because we have this whole Mount Meru going on like this in the middle of the, you know, thing. So in this way, we have various levels of meaning of the description of this universe here. So that's why it's difficult to understand, because you put it all together and try to think of it physically, it doesn't quite fit, because we have a very small Earth compared to Varsha, and we have these huge amounts of space that look like islands. So it's very confusing. But if it's simultaneously a description of all these things, you can stick it together and get some sort of description of the universe. So and that's the horizontal dimension as far as. And then we have that vertical dimension in terms of gunas. So speaking in a different way of levels of consciousness, out of the different living entities. So that's the other way of speaking. So within this, the whole purpose of the description, when it began, Parikshit asked the question about describe the universe. And the whole purpose of that description is to show the Lord and his, glorify the Lord in his creation of this whole elaborate system and how he accommodates the living entities within it. So in other words, the whole purpose is simply to show the control of the Supreme Lord ultimately over this, and that by his plan it is created, and within it the jivas are acting in different ways. Well, they talk about different airs propelling the system to hold everything in place. So different forces, in other words, are there to hold everything in the proper place.
The modern astronauts are the only ones who want to go up. They don't like to go below the Earth.
Oh, well, they want to go once that's not upwards, beyond the Earth. Because up and down are more or less relative. If you're in Australia, you can go upwards, it's downwards. So so one theory, of course, is that the downward planets are the below the equator, hellish planets. they go up towards Mount Meru, down towards the equator, but the other ones are, we can say, like hellish planets down there. So that's another system, which would work in one sense if we had the sun shining on top, then it would always be dark in the bottom, like that. So that's one theory also, like that. But of course, the thing is that yes, if we go downwards into the Earth, what do we see there? So of course the modern theory is the big molten core at the mountain and everything like that. There are other theories, of course, that within the Earth there's also living entities. There's huge cities somewhere underneath the Earth, that demons burrowing their nations under the Earth or whatever like that. They live under the Earth and periodically they come out or whatever. So that's another theory people have. And some people even say, well, they've seen the demons, or they've gone in the caves and seen demons. So we have all sorts of legends like this, you know? Even modern legends like that. You look on the internet, you find all sorts of things like that. You know, the underworld, different entities living under the earth, etc. like that. There's also a theory, the hollow earth. People have that theory, that there is a hollow in the center of the earth, and there's another world underneath there, which is like paradise. It's also very, very Svarga Loka. So there's legends like that. You'll find them on the internet. You look at Hollow Earth, you'll find all sorts of legends like that. They said that way. Bird went to the North Pole, then he went inside, something like that. So that's what they say, like inside. So there's all sorts of rumors like that also. Hollow Earth and things inside the Earth.
Another ocean also gets to there. Cities in other oceans. And then they see built by how fish and how human. There's even the sea beach.
Yeah. Well, we have the Nagas from underneath, you know, the snakes, they live in holes and all these sort of Nagas and things like that. So, basically demonic species.
I mean, Mahatma
goes under
the ocean and
marries one of the Ulupi or something? Who was the Naga queen, Naga princess, Naga princess.
But that Naga is not in the same Naga as the Shubhya?
Must be. The Naga princess from Manipur.
So you take Earth model, the size given in the Bhagavatam and Earth, the Earth is different size.
Very small.
How can you compare the system? The Yojana 8,000
miles. Well, that's why these Yojanas here, we cannot think that they didn't know the size of it, because it's very easy to do it. You walk across Varsha, you can figure out how big that is. That's not a big problem. So in other words, it's something else. It doesn't mean Earth anymore. It means something else. That's why we have to assume it must mean solar system and things like that. These are huge dimensions.
But in the case of Parshurama, he threw his axe. He wanted some space, and then the sea receded from that area, and that was actually occupied by Nagas.
That's on Earth.
On Earth.
Yeah.
That's what Kerala is actually.
Yeah, well, it's just like the even Kaliya came back on Earth, but he's also way down here, one of these Padalaloka or somewhere like that. Yeah. So it looks like they can also come up under Earth sometimes.
Can you see the snakes, what they see here?
Same family.
Same family.
The Kadaru produced all the snakes, and these are the head snakes here down in this lower systems here. So that's why snakes are considered a very simple tamasic creatures. Yeah, it's below. It's described to be just above the ocean, the Garbhadak ocean. And Yamaraj is there, and that's where the hellish system is described there. Not there. Yeah, it's down there in chapter 26, hellish planets. Well, it's included in the hellish planets, but it's below that. It's below the fourth, the seven more, below Patala.
Well, that's why you mentioned in detail that upper planets, Pitaloka is somewhere there. So
that,
yes, Pitaloka is there and things are hanging upside down.
There's a story like that. Yeah, I don't know what that's. Oh, well, there is another. See, there's different places. Like Yamaraj also resides on top of Mount Meru, along with the other devatas. He also has a place up there. So there's different places where he can reside also.
There are two Pitralokas, one in the near the heavenly planets and one down.
Well, it looks like it. That this is the punishment planet down below.
Uh-huh.
There's also a heavenly planet which is called Pitraloka.
That is what you mentioned, that where Yamaraj resides over Mount Meru.
Yeah, on the top of Mount Meru.
So that means all the rishis come and get punishment on this particular planet.
What's that?
The Supra planet, the
Padalala
planet.
Padalala. No, well, the Pitraloka planet, where that's the punishment takes place. That was described in chapter 31 or 32. The 21 divisions of hell. that's way down there on the bottom.
And because it's a central jail, and very small jail, central jail.
Well, yeah, that's the main place where you go after you get out of your material body, and you have to have simple reactions.
Also, Rubu asked another question: is there from all the vashas the jivas come over there?
If they do sinful activities, they're worthy of punishment. But generally, like from Svargaloka, they just fall back down onto the other vashas. They don't go down. Or down to hellish planets, because they have only remaining punyas. We have some remaining punyas to experience.
Apart from seeing these heavenly planets like the sun and we also see nakshatras, we also see
Saptarishis,
for example.
Yeah, well, the Saptarishis are higher than the planets, but lower than the pole star. And the nakshatras are above the sun, but I think below the other ones, like that, in terms of elevation and miselevation. So they're all up there. And then the Saptarshis is there, the pole star's there, then the Saptarshis is over here. And if you look at the night sky, everything revolves this way, I guess you could say. It revolves around like this. And the zodiac is outside, and then closer in to the center is the Saptarshis. And then the Little Dipper, and the point of the Little Dipper is the pole star. So it's all revolving in that thing.
Why is the pole star the center of the universe?
Yeah, above Mount Meru. So it's a center in terms of what we observe from here. And everything is, if we take Earth as a stationary body, and everything revolves. You take it like that, then that's how it's explained. So you can explain everything, it's only relative. We can say the Earth moves, or we can say it doesn't move. it depends. Just like a train moves in relation to the earth, but you could say that earth is moving in relation to the train also. If you take the train as stationary, then the earth will be moving. You can take it either way. But generally we take the bigger object as the non-moving one and the other object. So we can take the earth as non-stationary and then have everything else revolving in relation to it. And you can map out all the paths of the planets and everything in terms of that, which is what is done in the Bhagavatam.
Well, if it takes at least 5 days for Earth to go around this whole sun, only 1 year. Go around the sun. That's what modern
time takes.
Yeah. 5 days to go around
the sun. No, so in terms of Vedic astrology, it takes 1 year for the sun to go around the zodiac. That's the equivalent. So the sun goes around the zodiac in 1 year, and that's the same as the Earth going around the sun.
You made that
saying
that
10-headed
snake was caught in Bangalore.
Okay, maybe one of the Nagas.
Any relation with
Nagaloka? They say it's Photoshop. Somebody has made a Photoshop.
That's also they can manage.
Below the equator is the most
No. And they must also understand that also, you know, because you can go down to Sri Lanka, it's right on the equator, you go below that. Right on the equator, like Singapore also is on the equator. So the pole star would be very visible, hardly visible in the sky at all. Then you get the Southern Cross, and then you have a star down there for that. Yeah, a different star. Because the star is all around the sky, so they just take a convenient star, which is bright, and use that as their guiding point. So they have a different star down there, the Southern Cross.
That is also on the same axis.
Yeah. But it also shifts over ages. It's also described in the Bhagavatam that it shifts. So more because the earth wobbles a little bit. Move around like this. So pole star shifts every so about thousands and thousands of years. It goes around in a circle like this in the sky also. And it shifts away from the pole star to another star, to another star, and it comes back to the pole star again later on. So it shifts in different places in the sky. No, it's a group of stars. So that is useful because we can measure the movements of the phases of the moon in terms of that. The moon goes around the earth once from Purnima to Purnima in 27 days. And also goes around the nakshatras and comes back to that same position in 27 days. So that's why we have 27 nakshatras. We make like lunar days more or less. Goes around.
And this is from Robert, you find I think it's also in the looks like being from other planets, this is from the Earth. You can have, but now we don't see the value of the thing except the Earth and the beings.
Well, it depends on the person if one is qualified. And if the David does or anyone has any business, then they can make themselves visible. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Jai 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 Jai